At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Afghanistan, Central Asia. Here we are involved in wars across the Eurasian continent, but we turn especially to Afghanistan and Central Asia, all the stands of Central Asia, including, of course, South Asia, an area pregnant, a region pregnant for development in the 21st century. And yet, we have the violence that is recognizable from the 20th century. Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at Hudson Institute, joins, along with Bill Rajov, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He keeps the Long War Journal. Hussain, I come to you because we march to the sound of gunfire. The headline from Germany, Pakistan, six soldiers killed in fight with Islamist militants. Pakistan's army says six soldiers in a gunfight with Islamist militants in rest of North Waziristan, the border region. The district on Afghanistan has long been a hot spot. I don't want to treat this as routine because it's been some time since this many casualties. And the Pakistani army is very cautious in the border region, always has been. So has something changed? Is there anything new? Or can we regard this as a tragedy, an ongoing tragedy of Central Asia? Good day to you, Hussain.
Good day. Just a few days back, 16 soldiers were killed in another border region between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Pakistani soldiers killed by Islamist extremists. Look, the United States went into Afghanistan after 9/11 with the aim and intention of dismantling the terrorist infrastructure that had been built there by the Taliban. The assumption of both the Trump and Biden administrations was that if we allow the Taliban, who were seen by some, including a British general who described them just as country boys, as just conservative, socially conservative people, it would be like we used to accept Saudi Arabia before Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Hard Islamic punishments, etc., some restrictions on women, not a big deal. But the truth is that Afghanistan is becoming the cauldron of Islamist terrorism and extremism again, and it is threatening Pakistan because the Islamists from Pakistan who are operating out of Afghanistan want to target Pakistan. And Pakistan's expectation that they will be able to have some influence over Afghan Taliban is proving to be wrong. The Afghan Taliban are siding with the Pakistani Taliban rather than with the Pakistani authorities. So things are bad there. But let us understand that unless and until Afghanistan is pacified, trade between South Asia, primarily India, and Central Asia, will not be sustainable. That would mean that the Central Asian republics, the stans of the former Soviet Union, will end up having to depend a lot more on China than they would be able to if they had an alternative. And so this deprives them of an alternative. It was a strategic blunder to withdraw from Afghanistan in the manner the United States withdrew.
Thank you. Bill, a very good day to you. Odd stories out of Afghanistan. Nothing can be confirmed. It's non-transparent. And then we have this suddenly. Taliban profit as flights diverted around Middle East crisis fill up Afghan airspace. A source of income reminding us all that the Taliban is not about monetizing the value of the GDP of Afghanistan. It's a gang. It was a gang when it went into power in Kabul, and it remains that way. The big man takes his cut, and everybody else feels lucky to have a weapon on his back and marches up and down the streets of Kabul. Your colleague, Grumpy Combat Veteran, I watch very carefully, So at this moment, Bill, before we turn to the Central Asian question, is there anything changing about the people left behind or the quality of life for them who cannot escape in Afghanistan?
No, John, and good day. Nothing has changed for the Afghan people. In fact, it's only worsening. The Taliban continue to hunt down members of the Afghan security forces or members of the government, their family members. People are disappeared routinely. Sometimes their bodies are found and are recovered. Sometimes they're never heard from again. Women's rights and are non-existent. They're forced to cover themselves and can't travel far from their homes without being escorted. Girls up to us, you know, aren't able to go to school. The lot of the Afghan people has diminished significantly in the last 3 years since the U.S. departure. We have to remember today is the day that the last vestiges of the National Resistance Front, they were defeated in Panjshir 3 years ago. It still exists, but it's an exile group now. There is no real resistance to the Taliban on the ground. The Taliban has complete control of Afghanistan. It sure deals with some guerrilla attacks from various resistance groups, but they're non-consequential. Its only real threat is the Islamic State. The Taliban capitalizes on its dominance of the security situation to impose its harsh version of Sharia or Islamic law on the people of Afghanistan. It's ironic that, you know, a lot of people wanted out of Afghanistan, but as soon as the U.S. left, that they wanted to try and come back in ways to get aid to the Afghan people. It was never going to work that way. The Taliban were always going to exploit the aid groups and take money and fund their terrorist regime.
Hussein, we have an item that you can help me understand. This is about Russia and the Taliban. The headline in The Hill, reporting this in Washington, Russia to remove Taliban terrorist status, envoy says. And there's a photograph of the very dapper Sergei Lavrov, foreign minister for the Russian Federation, shaking hands with a man who steps out of a black and white photo from the 16th century, the Amir Khan Mutaki of the Taliban, with his heavy black eyebrows and his thick black beard. He looks quite sinister. But the handshake is genuine, and it's here in the 21st century. What is it that moves Russia to drop terrorist designation on the Taliban? How does this advance Russia and Eurasia to your measure?
Well, we must remember that President Donald Trump also called Mullah Baradar, the Taliban negotiator in Doha, and then went on to say that it was a great moment for him to talk to the Taliban leader who has made him certain promises about terrorism. As far as the U.S. is concerned, it made a wrong decision. As far as the Russians are concerned, they are making what for them is the right decision, removing the terror tag, because now they think that they have a opportunity to walk into the vacuum. Historically, we must understand Afghanistan is a resource-poor country. It has always lived off major powers. So there was a time when the British were the major power that gave them the subsidies. Then there was a competition between the Russians and the Americans. It was always considered as part of Russia's zone of influence. The Central Asian republics were part of the Soviet Union, only a few decades ago. So from Russia's point of view, it makes sense to normalize things with the Taliban and get on with the business that they think was interrupted after 9/11. They feel that they will have advantages. Having a presence in Afghanistan will enable them to make sure that the Americans can't come back. But more important than that, to put pressure on the Central Asian republics, Afghanistan borders Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and Turkmenistan. And from there, the Russians can also have or try to have some kind of support in operations for Iran in case they need to do that. So it's geographically and strategically an important location, and the Russians recognize that and are moving in there.
The Russian defeat in Afghanistan was often used as an explanation for the deterioration of the Soviet Union. I don't go one way or the other in that argument, but I do remember when the Soviet Union retreated from Afghanistan, the last man over the last bridge, I believe they transferred into Tajikistan or Uzbekistan and kept going to back to the Soviet Union at the time. That was seen as a strategic defeat for Russia. However, this suggests that it was not strategic and that Russia has business there that doesn't depend upon the loss of that war. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, yes and no. Look, at that particular moment, from the Soviet Union's point of view, it was a defeat. It was a blow to their morale. A lot of young people who returned from Afghanistan started questioning the whole Soviet ideal for sending them into a war, into this remote place to try and defend communism, because the rationale for the Soviet Union coming into Afghanistan was to try and protect the communist regime there, which had a very narrow base. And these people were traumatized by the American-backed Mujahideen fighting them. But I think that the fact that the Americans completely backed out at that moment, once the Russians left, the Americans left, that created a vacuum which was filled by extremist Islamists. This time, the Russians want to make sure that it is not filled by extremist Islamists, it's filled by Russia itself. So the Russians are looking at the strategic space in a more strategic way than the Americans are.
Bill, there's a term I learned from reading a new article at the Texas National Security Review that is used routinely by the professors of geopolitics, history combined with politics, combined with observing how empires behave. The word is recognizable, retrenchment. But retrenchment is something powers do over the centuries. The U.S. is said to be in a retrenchment in Central Asia. To success, Bill, your measure so far, 3 years from the retrenchment of Afghanistan, the retrenchment, more years from the retrenchment in Iraq. We're going to do it, I think, one more time. Has that strengthened the U.S.'s presence?
Yes, John, I agree. It has not strengthened the U.S. presence or the U.S. interests at all. The retrenchment in Central Asia, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, is an absolute disaster. The Al-Qaeda has reestablished training camps and other and key infrastructure. Okay, if you just look at it from that perspective, it's bad. But how it impacted the view of U.S. power worldwide, I have no doubt that the Russians were encouraged by the U.S. withdrawal and defeat in Afghanistan to launch its partially to launch its invasion of Ukraine. The U.S. has lost inroads into Central Asia. It's given it back over to, it has allowed Iran, Russia and China to fill those voids. The U.S. looks awfully weak worldwide. And I would also argue the U.S., there's a retrenchment for the U.S. in the Middle East as well. You had mentioned the U.S. is slated to leave Iraq fully by 2026. That didn't really work very well the last time when we called the Islamic State the JV team and left Iraq, an area the size of Great Britain was taken over by the Islamic State, carved out of both Iraq and Syria, and we had to go back in. I think when you see what Iran is doing in throughout the Middle East with using its proxies to attack Israel, as well as the Houthis shutting down shipping in through the Red Sea, and the U.S. is powerless to do anything. We've been battling the Houthis for 11 months now to no effect whatsoever. So this retrenchment, it's real, and it's having a lasting impact on U.S. national security.
I'm speaking with Bill Rajo, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, a senior fellow, and Hussein Haqqani, Ambassador Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now director for South and Central Asia for the Hudson Institute. When we come back, we're going to look at what we do not know, which is the next step, phase, battle, war in the Middle East, this time between the two principals, Jerusalem and Tehran. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.